Oh, God is so good. You know, we're singing those songs, and here, Mark. We're singing those songs, and I'm thinking, you know, this is more faith and more scripture than most people get in a whole month of church. And it's just the worship part of service. Yeah. If you started singing those songs and you started talking about nothing being too big for God, God being the one who gives us the victory over all the things the devil tries to pull, if you started talking about how much God is your peace, boy, we would change some things, wouldn't we? We'd change some things talking like that all the time. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love godly worship music. I love that. And I love having a worship team who is led by the Spirit. I had it on my heart to sing that song a few days ago. Nothing's too big for my God. Nothing is too big for my God. I was like, Lord, I really hope that they sing that song. And I didn't go to them and even ask, and I could have. Yeah. But in my heart, I was like, Lord, I hope that they sing that song, because that song needs to stir us up. Yeah. If you're going through something, nothing is too big for God. Right. Nothing is too big for God. Right. When I rest in Him, when I put my trust in Him, nothing is too big for Him. Amen. Well, I'm Pastor Renee Michener, and I have to say this. If you came this week and it's your first time, you want to make sure you come next week and hear my husband, because you won't be getting both parts of the spectrum. But tonight I'm up here, and you may say, well, I've been coming a while and I haven't seen you up there. Well, tonight you get to hear the word that the Lord has given me to share tonight. And so, praise the Lord. I love that the Lord works with us as husband and wife. Amen. Yes. And that God's got messages to get out, and we just endeavor to be led by the Spirit around here. Well, I'm trying to time myself over here. I'm like, where do I put all my stuff? We need a bigger one of these. Hallelujah. Tonight's message is called, well, what's this faith stuff? What's this faith stuff? You know, we hear that word faith. People in the world use that word faith all the time. You know, oh, I have faith in you. You do? You have faith in people? I don't have faith in people. I have faith in God. You know, and what we are not careful of sometimes is we kind of take on this idea that faith is what everybody in the world thinks faith is. You know, when you say, well, I have faith in that person, then that person fails because they're human, then we seem to put that on God, like God could possibly fail. God can't fail. The faith we're called to have, the faith the Bible teaches about, is not the same faith that we read about in the dictionary, that we hear when people just say, oh, I've got faith in that. I've got faith that ceiling tile won't fall down, even though it's getting rained on. You know, there's things in the world that happen that we could say we have faith in them, but it's not the same kind of faith as in God. Amen? Let's go ahead and turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. Hallelujah. And we're going to look at verse 4. We're going to get into some stuff about faith tonight that the Lord's been putting on my heart. Hallelujah. Habakkuk 2, 4. It says here, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but I want to get to this. But the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. And what do you say? Well, just means made righteous. Just means the children of God, the ones that Jesus purchased, the ones that Jesus paid the price for, those are the just. Those are the ones who are supposed to, according to the word, live by faith. And like I said, there's a lot of misunderstanding about faith. You know, some people think faith is just the denomination that you're a part of. Faith is, I'm of the Baptist faith, or I'm of the Catholic faith, or I don't have any faith, you know. But faith is not just the denomination or who you associate yourself with. We're going to get into what faith really is here. And we have to, because the word says that the just shall live by his faith. So if we don't know what faith is, truly is, then how can we live by it? And if we're not living by it, then we're out of the will of God. Amen? And so you got to be in a place where you're going to learn faith. You know, you see up above me, faith comes by hearing. We put that up there for a reason. We know that the only way to get the true faith of God working in you is to be hearing the word of God, to be hearing the scripture and the truth. Like we said, Rachel said in the announcements, that freedom comes from as a result of the truth of the word of God. You know, that's the only way we're going to walk in it. Let's go ahead. We're just going to pull up Romans 10, 9 and 10. We're just going to pull up Romans 10, 9, and 10 up here. Hallelujah. We might be. Sometimes there's technical difficulty, right? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we see that there. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Can you go back, please, to Romans 10:9? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's how we become a Christian, right there. We accept that. We accept, Lord, I believe that you sent Jesus for me. I believe that he was your son. I believe that you raised him from the dead, that he took my sin upon him and made it so I could be made righteous or just, right? I believe that. I confess it. I'm telling you, God, I believe it. That's how we get saved. And so if you are saved, if you've done that, if you've said, Lord, come into my heart, I want you to be my Father, I believe this, then you are saved. But how do we know that we're saved? We only know it by faith, right? If we don't have faith, we can't even believe the starting point of becoming a Christian. That this is it. This is the first step, and it takes faith to step into it. Amen. It doesn't mean that God didn't already provide it, but if people don't step into it in faith, then we don't even get the salvation that's already free there for us, freely given to us. We need to learn about faith, and that's the starting point of learning about faith. Because, you know, when I first became a Christian, I knew absolutely nothing about the Bible. I knew nothing. I've said it before. I was raised atheist. I never opened a Bible in my life except for the one that the Gideons handed out on the school corner. And I only opened it because I played with it with my dolls and I pretended it was like a teacher's book that I could teach out of. But I didn't actually read the Bible. So when I became a Christian, I truly just was like, I take you at your word. I believe that you really did send Jesus. I believe this. I don't know why I believe it. I've never seen any true evidence like we know it, that evidence that will appease the five senses. There was no evidence that appeased the five senses that told me that Jesus was real. I believed it in my heart, and I spoke it out of my mouth. I was walking in faith. And if you've done that, you've walked in faith too. And so if we can believe God, and we should, if we can believe God that one day when this life is over, we'll be in heaven for eternity with him, then we should be able to believe God for all the things on this earth that are so much more simple. Amen? Well, let's look at Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. You can just take the reference unless you have an Amplified Bible. You know, Amplified just does what it says. It amplifies. It brings it out more. So Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. I guess we've got a little delay going on. You know, technology is wonderful, but sometimes it's just a little bit slow there. Can you get that? Is it able? No? All right. Well, let me pull it up here. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. Hallelujah. You know, we can't get mad at technology sometimes. Hallelujah. It's funny, I'm also a school teacher, and we have a lot of new technology, and sometimes the kids are like, why won't this work? Why won't this work? I don't know. Sometimes they just chooses not to. Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. And the conviction, that means deep inside of us, just the knowing. I know that I know that I know. The conviction of their reality, faith, I love this. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith is our assurance. Faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And the way we build faith, like it says up there, is we build faith by hearing the word of God. That's scripture, by the way. We build faith by hearing the word of God. How do we build the assurance, the conviction deep inside of us that God is who he said he was, that nothing's too big for God, that God will do what he said he would do? How do we do that? How do we build that faith in us, that conviction that nobody can convince me otherwise? We have to get into the truth. Yeah. And I feel so sad for any church that doesn't preach and teach the truth, who doesn't unfold the scripture. God meant for this to be unfolded every single week, every single time the doors were open. God meant for this to be unfolded before his people. He said to his apostles early on, he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. Give them the word. Show them the truth so they can get faith built in them. Give it to them. Show them the truth. Feed my people. Feed my people the word of God. And that's what we endeavor to do here, you know. Do what God said and just get into his word and get that conviction, that assurance, the full assurance on the inside of us that God gave us these things without us having to see them with our five senses. Amen. Or in feel them and taste them and know them by the senses. Yeah. Faith is trust and confidence in God and Jesus, conviction that Jesus is the Messiah, that God is who he says he is, the creator of heaven and earth, and the bestower of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. Yeah. That is faith. We know it. Somebody, you know, there are people who call us foolish. How do you believe in that stuff? I had somebody the other day tell me, well, I believe that when people die, they get reincarnated, and that's the explanation for deja vu. What? You can have faith in that? I have faith that God is who he said he was, that when we die, we either go to one of two places, that we either go to eternity with him by Romans 10, 9, and 10, truly believing that Jesus is Lord, truly believing that he paid the price for us, accepting the ticket in, hallelujah, or we go to hell. That's the truth. And most people aren't telling you that. And so we get this false teaching out there that says, well, when you die, you may become a butterfly. You may become another human being, and then when you feel something or think you've been somewhere before, it's because you have been. No. That's the devil. That's deception. I'm not making fun of them. That's deception. And that's why the truth and getting it out there is so important. Faith is knowing that you know that you know. Knowing that you know that you know. Faith doesn't guess. Faith doesn't doubt. Faith trusts. Faith is confident. You can't tell faith otherwise. You can't say anything different. I know that I know that I know. You know, I have faith in my husband. I know that he's coming home at night. I know he's not doing anything that's going to hurt me. I know he's got my best interest in mind. I have faith and assurance in him. I believe that wholeheartedly. And see, when I trust and have faith in my husband, I don't sit around worrying, is he going to actually be a good husband to me today? Is he actually going to follow through? Is he actually going to come home tonight? Is he doing something bad when I'm not looking? Is he out to get me and I didn't know it? See, when you have faith in something and full trust and assurance in someone, you don't worry about stuff. But Christians all the time are worrying about whether or not God's going to follow through, whether or not God's going to be God to them, whether or not God is looking out for their best interest. God may be trying to teach me a lesson. Oh, yeah, I thought God wanted me healed, but maybe he's just really trying to teach me a lesson. Maybe he just really, you know, is out to get me because I did something really bad and he needs to punish me. No, let God be God and let's trust him. Hallelujah. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:13. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Again, you can take down notes or you can turn there, but the Amplified just amplifies it. It just brings it out. It says, if we are faithless, which means do not believe and are untrue to him, he remains true. He remains faithful to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. You know, I was sitting in a service on Wednesday night, and the Lord spoke to my heart, teach people the character of God. Teach people the character of God. Let people know who God really is. Because we can't have faith in someone we don't know. We can't have faith in someone that we haven't become well acquainted with. I can have faith in my husband because I'm with him every day. I live with him. I know him. I know him. I know he knows me. We know each other. We have our hearts and our each other's best interest in mind. But that's because we spend time, we abide together. Yes. We live together. We're in this thing together, amen? And if you're married, that's how it should be, right? That's how it should be. But that's how it should be with God. John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in his word, right? If you abide in him, he'll abide in you. You abide in him. You're in this together. And then you can have that conviction that I know that I know that I know who my God is, what my God is going to do, and how do we learn about him? We come to church, a good Bible teaching church. We get into his word. We let our pastor unfold the word of God to us. It's him. He says, I am the word. Yeah. Everything that this word has delivered to you, that's God's character. Yeah. That's God being delivered to you. Yeah. So if you want to know God, you have to know his character. Yeah. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. We've got to get well acquainted with God. It's about time that Christians actually know the word of God for themselves. You know, I was speaking to a precious woman that the Lord has brought into my life, who has been a Christian her whole life, considers herself a Christian, has gone to church her whole entire life. And I was sitting there one day with her, and she said, I wouldn't know how to read my Bible if I opened it. I've never opened my Bible. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, I don't even know where I would go. I don't even know how to read it. I wouldn't know even where to start. And she said, so sometimes I'll read a devotional, but I've never read a Bible. And I thought, oh, do you know how much that hurts the heart of God? He gave us this so we would know him, so we would know his character, so we would know our Father. And if we don't know how to open the Bible for ourselves, that's dangerous. That's so sad. And so it's about time churches teach people how to read the Bible, how to learn the Word of God, how to know God's character so we can know him by faith. Hallelujah. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6. This is why faith is so important. It's not just about us. It is about us, but it's not just about us. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Most Christians don't even know that verse. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you say, is God up there just looking for us to do and please him? Well, yeah, because we're in this together. You know, when you love someone, you want to make them happy. And they want to make you happy. That's what love is all about. I mean, love is about doing the best for each other. And God wanted to do the best for us because he loves us so much, right? Yeah. But he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him because he wants us to know him and to love him for who he is, not who someone told us he was, not who we thought in our head he might be. He wants us to truly, by faith, know that we know our God. And without that kind of faith, it's impossible to please him. Do you understand? It's not this wishy-washy kind of faith. It's not this false idea of faith. It's knowing who God is. God said, unless you treat me and live like you know me, like you truly know me, then you're not pleasing me because I want you to know who I really am. See, if I always had this false idea of who my husband was, and I use this example because it's natural, and we get it, right? We get that. If I had this false idea of who my husband was, and I thought my husband was out to get me, and I thought my husband, sometimes was good to me, and sometimes I just thought, he's a real piece of work. You know, I don't really know what he cares about. You know, he must not care about me. You know, you got to be careful about thoughts like that come against your spouse, by the way. You rebuke those. But if I thought that way, love, how would you feel? If I looked at you and I thought, he's out to get me, he doesn't really care much about me, how would that make your heart feel? horribly sad, right? You'd be like, man, I love this person. What are you talking about? You think I'm out to get you? I love you. I mean, I love you. And that's what God is doing with his people. I love you. Do you understand how much I love you? I love you so much. Why do you think I'm out to get you? Why don't you trust me? I love you so much. I want you to know me and know my love for you. I want you to understand on the inside of you how much I care for you, how much I truly love you. Listen, God loves us. And I don't know why I can't get off of that. He loves us. He loves us so much. And he wants us to know that. He doesn't want us to doubt his love for us. He doesn't want us. And so when we know him and we trust him for who he really is, that pleases him. And that's what the scripture's talking about. That's impossible to please him when you don't even believe he is who he says he is. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Psalm 9:10. And we'll get as far as the Lord lets me get with this. I have a lot of scriptures. I won't keep you here all night, I promise. But, you know, the Lord has some things he wants to deliver. And I'm never going to be afraid to take his detours and take his little side journeys. He wanted us to know he loves us. And, you know, I didn't even have that in my notes. But the Lord just dropped that in my heart. You know how much I love my people. Do you know this? I want them to know. I want them to know. He wants you to know. You know, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will deliver things based on who's in a service. And so somebody needed to know that. That God really, 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 really loves you. And he just wants you to know that and know that he is who he says he is. He knows that you love him, and he wants you to know how much he loves you. Hallelujah. Psalm 9:10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. If you know him, you will trust him. If you know him, you will trust him. Amen. John 10:26. And I'm going to read mine in the Amplified. I told you, it's amplifying some things tonight. John 10:26-27. But you do not believe and trust and rely on me because you do not belong to my fold. You are no sheep of mine. If you don't believe and trust and rely on him, you are not his sheep. Because his sheep, listen, the sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice. And I know them and they follow me. If you are not hearing from God, if you're not trusting in who he is, you can't be his sheep. You can't be led by him. You can't truly be his disciple. You have to know his voice. And his voice is the word of God. We have to train ourselves when somebody says something and teaches us something that's opposite of the word of God or doesn't line up with the scripture and the character of God. We need to train ourselves in such a way where we don't believe that. Because I know that I know that I know who my God is and what his character is. I know that. And you know, a lot of churches are teaching the false character of God. And we're here to teach the truth. We're teaching the truth about who God is. Romans 10:17, hallelujah. God is so good. I love his word. You hear us say that a lot around here. Love God's word. I love God's word because it's God's character. It's who he is. So every time I get into the word of God, I learn more about him. You know, when you first get together with your spouse, you know, we were talking earlier before service. You know, you look for every opportunity you can get to get into their presence. I want to, you know, they needed help with this, so I'm going to go help them with this. Or they wanted to go here. You know, when my husband and I first got together, we would just go anywhere each other went, you know. Like, even if we had no interest in being there at all, you know, it's like, oh, I got to run to the bank. Well, I'll go with you. I got to go to the grocery store. Well, I'll go with you. And now it's like, I think I'll wait for you. no, but we shouldn't be like that with God. It should be that way with God. I want to be where you are. I want to get everywhere that you are. I want to be, count me in, because I know that the more I'm around you, God, the more I know about you. And the more I know about you, the more I can trust you. And I want, count me in. You're going over here, God, I want to go over there. And you know, and that's why it's so important to follow God and know where he's called you to go to church. Because if he's going there, you want to be there. You want to be there with him so you can get better acquainted with him. Amen. Oh, you got this work to be done? Yeah, I'll just sit and watch. Hallelujah. Romans 10:17. Here we are, right up above us. Here's the scripture. I told you it's in the Word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The only way we build faith is hearing his Word. That's the only way we know who he is. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, just a couple pages back. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 8. The word is so good, isn't it? God's got such good things for us to understand about him. He just wants us to know more and more and more about him. Hallelujah. Romans 5, 8, we're going to read through verse 11. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here's character of God right here. God is demonstrating his character and how much he loves us in that he sent Jesus for us while we were still lost, while we were still living in sin. There's people out there living in sin right now, people out there who are living horrible lives and making horrible decisions. We've all been there. And they don't even know that Jesus died for them. They don't even know yet. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, that means we've been made righteous, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God has saved us from wrath. God has his characters to take us out of the place of torment, to take us out of the place of trouble. God does not want his people destroyed. God does not want his people hurting. God does not want his people to go without. See, we're reading, we're learning his character here. He's full of love. He's taken us out of the wrath of the enemy. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Remember, Jesus died for us, but he rose again. Much more than just Jesus dying for us was that he rose again. And when he rose again, and it says that he's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. He's there constantly making intercession, constantly speaking to God the Father. Oh, God, Hayden is trying real hard. Bless her, God. Bless her. You know, oh, God, did you see what they're doing for you? God bless them. God bless them. God, I know they made a mistake. I know they did, but I paid for that. Just take them further anyway. God, help them through it. He's constantly there making intercession for us. Much more. That's much more valuable to us than just the fact that he died. Doesn't you understand that? He says, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not just in eternity, but here on earth as well. And not only that, because that's good enough, but it says not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And you say, what's reconciliation? Well, reconciliation, you might have also heard it as the atonement. It is also known as restoration. You know, and I was thinking about, have you ever restored woodwork in an old house or a piece of wooden furniture that over the years people have painted lots of times and it's got layers and layers of paint and you got to get that off, right? You want it to be fresh and you want it to be made new. Yeah. So you peel away, right, and you sand it down. And then you can get it restored to its original beauty, to its original state. And that's what God did with us through Jesus. He sent Jesus. Jesus took all the sins of the world. He took all the sickness of the world. He took all the destruction that was already paved in our path. And he sanded it down, and he got all the layers of that paint that you didn't want there anymore, and he brought us back to our former state. We have been made righteous. We are the just, and the just shall live by his faith. Amen? That's what it means. God stripped us down through Jesus to get us back to our original state that he had intended for mankind from the beginning. 2 Corinthians 8:9. You want to turn here. Definitely want to turn here. Because we are just going to build our faith in some things and learn a bit about the character of God. And I'll tell you, I had a hard time a little bit just knowing, and I had to just trust God. God, where do you want me to go with this? Because honestly, the character of God is so, there's so much to know about him that you can't possibly in 45 minutes or an hour learn everything there is to know about his character. So God, just show me what you want to deliver tonight. But I'm going to tell you, it's not everything. But tonight, there's some things that God wanted to get over to us. Amen? So 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." This is another part of God's character. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he was at the poorest a human being could ever be. Everything was stripped away from him. Everything was stripped away from him. Everything. And he became poor. He wasn't poor while he walked this earth. He had everything that he needed. He may not have been living in a mansion on the hill, but he could have been. He chose to serve the Lord instead. Not that you can't serve the Lord living in a mansion, but Jesus had to put aside natural things to serve the Lord. But everything he ever needed was supplied for. He was not poor while he walked this earth. He was not. But when he was on the cross, he became poor. He became the poorest a human could ever be. Everything stripped from him. His pride. And not that he walked in pride, but think about it as a human being. You know, think about that. Could you be in a more humbling, more debased state than Jesus at the cross? Could you be? You couldn't be. Everything was stripped away from him. Everything. He became poor on the cross so that we, through that, through him rising again and being seated on the right hand of the Father, that we could be made rich. That we could have everything we need in this life to supply us to get through. And the word says that about God. But yet we're like, God, how am I going to have my electric bill paid this week? God, how am I going to feed my kids this week? How am I going to get my car on the road? You know, if we have a need, God wants to supply it. Why would he have stripped Jesus of everything on the cross and when he rose again, restored everything back to us, but not give us enough to pay our bills? Yeah. Come on, you know? And we need to understand that about the character of God. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. And I'm talking about two areas tonight, right now, that most people struggle with. And one of them is about finances and whether or not God's going to supply the need. And another one is about health in our bodies. People struggle, Christians struggle, and it's because they haven't figured out who God really is in these areas. We need to know that we know that we know who our God is. We need to know his character. We need to know what he wants for us. And if he wants it for us, then it doesn't mean he's just wishing. It's available to us. Amen. All right, 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree," remember, everything stripped away from him, "that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness." We have been made righteous. We have been made just through Jesus. "By whose stripes you were healed." By whose stripes you were healed. So Jesus not only on the cross paid for us to have a full supply, but he paid for our healing. We don't have to accept sickness on this earth. And if we are, it's because we don't know that we know that we know who God is. And God is saying, "I love you. I love you. You think I want you sick? I love you. You think I want you poor? You think I want you worried? You think I want you wondering if you're going to make it? I love you." If you love your child, you do everything in your power to make sure they are provided for. Amen. You do everything in your power to make sure they're feeling well, that they're being taken care of. Amen. Well, God is the same, but a better Father. Hallelujah. Let's look at Romans 8:32. Hope you're getting something out of this. We want to know more about God. We need to know more about God. We can't make it on this earth without knowing God. People try to make it all the time and they're failing. People try to make it all the time and they're going without. Like Rachel said, they're looking for peace all over the place. Know God and know his peace. Amen? Romans 8:32. Oh gosh, I've got my Bible so highlighted. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. We've been seeing that. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's the character of God. If he did not spare his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And we're not talking just about material things. We're talking about everything we need to make it through this life in peace, in prosperity, in abundance, to walk out the plan that he has for us. How shall he who gave us Jesus not give us everything else? It says that he has come. The word has come. God has come. The character of God is here so that we'd have life and we'd have it more abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. James 1:5. We're going to get into a principle here. Get God's character, a principle here. James 1:5. I love this. Man, I just love God. I just love what he has for us. I just want to know him more. I don't know how we could be a Christian and not want to know him more. And then when we find out about him and we see something in the Word of God, we've got to believe it. God delivered it to us. Why do you think that we open and tell you so much scripture around here? It's because we don't want you to think it's man telling you. It's God, from the heart of God, right to you. He's telling you this. We have to look at it that way. James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God wisdom, of course, is something good we should desire, but look at this principle, this characteristic of God that's unfolded here. God gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. But couldn't we say that about anything? If any of you lacks wisdom about how your bills are going to get paid, if any of you lacks wisdom about what doctor you need to see, or what job you need to take, or which vehicle you need to buy, or how to raise your kids, or how to respond to this situation, or how to deal with this trial, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Ask your Father, God, what do I do about this? And he says he gives to all men liberally and without reproach. Do you know what it means to reproach? It means to get angry. God doesn't get angry when his people ask him. If I come to my husband and say, hey, can you help me with something? He doesn't get angry at me, and he's human. You think God is getting angry at his people when they say, I need you, God. I need help with this. I'm coming to you. I'm not coming to you in lack of faith. I'm coming to you in faith that you're hearing me. And if you hear me, you're helping me. Right? He gives to all liberally without reproach if you ask, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Remember, I know that I know that I know who my God is. With no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, a double-minded man, and unstable in all his ways. God can't bless us if we won't let him. If we come to him and the operation of faith and God's word and everything that he promised to us, it tells us in his word, and you'll see it if you're in his word enough, that we don't walk into anything unless by faith. And so it's not God holding back, it's God being true to his word. He said that the way that you live is by faith. But if you don't live by faith, I can't make it happen for you. I can only make things help you with things that you let me be your helper with. I can only be your father as long as you let me be your father. People wonder, well, why? How come that person who's been going to church all these years, how come they got sick and they didn't see the other side of it? Did they have faith and know that they knew that they know that you know that God is healer? Because if they didn't truly believe that God is healer, how can he be healer for them? You unlock and you open up the promises of God by believing them in faith. But if you don't have faith, if you don't have the knowing in the inside of you, the conviction that says nobody can tell me otherwise, nobody can tell me otherwise that my God isn't healer. Do you know that I had the flu surrounding me all winter? I mean, I'm telling you, I'm a school teacher. I see hundreds of kids every single day. Do you know some days I had 30 or 40 students absent because the flu was just like everywhere? And do you know that I went to school every day and I didn't have a single symptom? Because I went in saying, well, I'm not getting the flu. I don't have time for the flu. God, you know I don't have time for the flu. You don't want me to get the flu. I'm not taking the flu on my body. I don't care if Johnny and Susie and everybody else are coughing and sneezing and coming up to me and rubbing it all over me. I'm not going home with that. You know, but I know God is healer. I'm not taking otherwise. You know, when we walked out to get this church building, we've been at the suites for like 9 months. We were at the suites. And, you know, we knew that God had a building for us. We knew it. The Lord spoke dramatically to my husband's heart about the need to prepare for the harvest. Well, you need a barn to bring in a harvest. You don't build a barn after you have the harvest. You build a barn so you got somewhere to put the harvest. So in faith, we stepped out towards this building. And people think we're crazy. How many people do you have going there now? How many people? How many can it seat? And how many people are actually there? Who's tithing? Who's giving? Are there people being faithful? Do you have anybody helping you yet? And you're like, it's not about that. Yeah. It's about God. We knew by the leading of God that it was time to get into a building. Yeah. Now, we could have said, but what if God doesn't pay the bills? What if God doesn't come through? What if we get bankrupt? What if the church has to close its doors because nobody's tithing? What if nobody shows up? No, I know my God. I know my God. I know that I know that I know that God is faithful. And that if he leads you into something, there's provision there. But if you don't know how to be led by God and you don't know the character of God and you don't know anything about him, then you don't know those things and you won't have those things. But if you have them, then you stand on them. Amen? We can be on the side of God, which is the winning team, by faith. Or we can choose to doubt, to waver, to be up 1 minute, down the next, believe God for salvation, but not provision. It makes no sense. Do you understand that? When we put it to you so plainly, it makes so much sense. Yeah, why would I believe God for a ticket into eternity in heaven? Why would I believe God? I never saw, I haven't physically seen Jesus. I wasn't there at the cross. I didn't see Jesus physically rise to the throne, to the right hand of the throne. I didn't see that with my eyes. I didn't see that. I was told it, and by faith in my heart and the inside of me, the knowing that I know, the true conviction, the full assurance, I know that God sent Jesus and that Jesus paid the price for me. But if we can believe him for that, how do we not believe him for provision? How do we not believe him for the simple things? Yeah. We really ought to get that in our hearts. How can we think, if we really know who God is, we need to believe him for what he said he's got for us. I said this too. Believe God for a new job, but don't believe God to be healed from that disease? How can we believe God with one thing and refuse to believe him on another thing? He said them both. He said them both, right? He is. Faith believes who he is. Who he is. Not who someone else said he was. Not even who in our own mind we think he is. That's New Age thinking. Yeah. Well, God is this to me. I believe God is this. This is God in my eyes. No. Who's God? There's a real God out there. He's not a made-up God. So we can't make up who he is. We need to know who he truly is and get into his real word, his real speaking to us and find out who he really is. That's New Age thinking. God is not whoever we create him to be. We're not the creator of God. He's the creator of us. Amen? We need to understand that. Faith is steady. Faith is not up and down. Faith is steady. And so there's two areas tonight. Oh, goodness. Sorry about that. There's two areas before we leave that we need to understand matter when it comes to our faith, and that is speaking, the way we speak, and the way we act. It's our speaking and it's our actions, and we're going to get into that tonight. Let's go to Matthew 6:24. Matthew 6:24. I hope you're getting some of this. I hope that you're understanding that there's so much to be learned, to understand about God, and we have to endeavor to know him more. We have to endeavor to get into his word more so we can walk and live in his faith, the faith that he had for us to walk and live in. Amen? Matthew 6:24-33. Speaking and acting, remember? That's what we have to get under control. The way we speak and the way we act, it will determine, it'll be a evidence of how much faith we have. It says here in Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Remember, it was talking about doubting and being like a wave toss, wishy-washy, one way one day the next, believing for this but not for this. Yeah. No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't be one way and the other at the same time. Do you understand that? You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon here is unrighteous money. And we're not, yes, this part of Scripture is talking about money and material goods, but it's a principle of God. You can't serve God and be opposite of him at the same time. You can't believe God but believe the opposite at the same time. You can't. You can't be in two places at once. We know that. You can't be here and at your house watching TV at the same time. Anybody doing that right now? Don't get out your phones and watch Netflix. You can't be in two places at once. You can't be double-minded. You can't be believing this and this at the same time. You're going to believe one or the other. We say, you know, there's a fence that Christians often sit on. And at some point, you're going to get off the fence. You're either going to get over to the side of God or you're going to get over to the side of the devil in the world. But at one point, you're not going to be able to be in both. You can't have one foot one place, one foot the other. It's not going to work very long. You're going to get sore. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Therefore, verse 25, I say to you, do not worry about your life. That's talking about natural life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I love you. I love you, child. Are you not of more value to me than the birds of the air? I love you. What do you mean? Which of you, we need to get a hold of this. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Cubit's a measurement that we don't use now. But which of you, by worrying, can add anything to your life? What did worrying ever get you? It never got you anything but more fear. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Remember, saying, worry comes out in your words. Oh, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? My clothes are getting holes in them. Oh, how am I going to get new clothes? What am I going to do? No, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. And what that really implies is they worry. After all these things, the Gentiles worry. The people of the world worry about those things. You, child, don't worry. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Here's the key. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We have to speak right. We can't speak and give worry a voice in our life. We can't say, God, I don't know if this is going to happen. And sometimes you're not even talking to God. You're talking to your friend. And you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. The doctor said this. I don't know how I'm going to get through. I don't know what I'm going to do. We put a voice to worry. And we need to be careful about that. Because this is what the word said. It said that if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, all the things you need, all the things you're dealing with, that all gets added to you. We don't worry about that. We worry about doing what God has for us to do and walking in faith, and everything else is taken care of. You know, I was saying to my husband the other day, Ezra, our daughter, would never come to us and say, did the mortgage get paid this month? Hey, am I going to have electricity in my room today? Yeah. Is there food to eat? Are we going to have dinner? She might say, anything good to eat, you know? I'm saying she would never wonder, am I going to be able to eat today? Because she knows her parents are providing those things for her. But children of God are thinking God is some abusive parent that needs child protective services called on him. God is not an abusive parent. God provides for us. He supplies for us. He said, why do you come to me worrying? Why do you wonder if your mortgage is getting paid? Why do you wonder you need a vehicle to drive? Why do you worry if he's going to make sure you got a safe car to drive? Why would you worry about that? Your kid needed something? You needed something? Your kid needed clothes for school? Why would you worry? God said, that's so simple. I sent Jesus. I sent Jesus. I love you. I love you, child. Why would you worry? Do you know me? Know that you know that you know that I love you and who I am according to my word. We need to know him. We need to know him. And I, oh goodness, I got to skip ahead here because we're running out of time. I got to read a few more things here. Mark 11:23. We need to know that what we say matters. We can't give doubt and worry a voice. We need to give faith a voice. We need to speak the word over our situations. Like I said earlier, nothing's too big for God. Nothing is too big for God. Oh, thanks be to God who always gives me the victory. Who always gives me the victory. My God is my peace. That's giving faith a voice, right? Yes. Not worry. What am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? How are we going to make it? We're probably not going to make it. I'm probably going to fail. I'm probably going to die. My car is going to break down. I'm not going to know what to do. No, we give the faith, voice of faith, right? We give faith a voice. Mark 11:23-24. For assuredly, you know what? I want to read 22. Jesus answered and said to them, this is when the disciples walked past the fig tree that Jesus had dried up with his words. The trial, the lack, he dried it up with his words. But Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, sounds like the same way we got saved, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, when you talk to your Father, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You have the formula for faith from the moment you get saved. You know exactly how to walk in faith. You know exactly how to speak in faith. You speak it out, the truth according to the word. You believe it in your heart. That's you operating faith in your life. That's how you do it. That's how you give faith a voice. It's so simple. God said, just say it. Say the truth, ask me according to my word, according to my character, come to me according to who I am, believe who I am, believe God is, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that is you operating and activating faith in your life. It is so simple. And I want to close with this passage of scripture, James 2, oh, I love the word. I love how simple God makes it to follow him. He gave us this owner's manual, and he actually put it in a language we could understand. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, one of those owner's manuals that you get. One time we ordered a device, like an MP3 player for my daughter, and it came in like Chinese, and I was like, how am I supposed to operate this? I don't understand Chinese, right? But God didn't do that with his owner's manual for us. He gave it to us in a language that we could understand. Actually, he gave it to us in a form that it would actually come alive to us and speak in our hearts to even help us understand it even more. That's amazing. It's like a virtual reality owner's manual. You like walk inside the pages. You get right in there. I love that. It's like you got right in there and you activated God's speaking right to you. You ever been in one of those virtual reality games? Like, they've got all these goggles now. Maybe you haven't seen them, but you wear these, like, goggles, and you're walking, and you're, like, in a new place. That's what the Word of God does for us. He's got this owner's manual that tells us everything we need for our life. We actually get to get in there with God and find out what He has for us. That's amazing. We need to get excited about the Word of God. James 2, 14. I'm going to close with this passage here. James 2, 14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" Now, this is not saying that everyone who needs a bite to eat, that you're the one that has to give everybody everything. That's not what it's saying, but it's saying that if somebody has a need and you try to answer it with something different, then what did you do for them, right? If somebody has a need and you didn't help them with that need, you just said, "Oh, they're there." That's what a lot of churches and pastors and Christians are doing. "Oh, they're there. They're there." No, the Word says this. That's how you feed somebody, okay? We need to understand that. It's not just talking naturally. It's a metaphor for the way we feed people with the life of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. "Thus, also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Faith without actions is dead. "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" We are not Christians who have to work our way into heaven. But what this is talking about is if you are in faith, then your actions will line up with your faith. If you are in faith, you will take steps to be in faith. I explained that to you. When we were in faith over this church, we're in faith over this church. So we went out and we bought a building. Yeah. And we know God's going to supply it. And the people are going to come. Yeah. We know that the Lord and the Holy Spirit are going to deal with people's hearts, that this is the place that they're called to be. We know it by faith. Yeah. And so we've already seen many. We've already had people that got saved being in this church. We already have seen that. See, the Lord says, or the Word says here, that you show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll show you what it's like to live in faith. I'll show you when I have a need, I'm gonna step out in faith, and we're gonna see that need come to pass. "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" You know, my daughter, we ordered her. I know I'm going a little long. My daughter, we ordered her a piano. She says she wants to learn how to play the piano to sing to God. So we ordered her a keyboard for her room that has a little stand and a bench. And I said, "I ordered this for you today. It's going to come, you know." And so you know what she did? I came home from work, and you know what she did? She had cleared out all the stuff that she needed to get rid of to make room for that piano. Because not for one second, what? I didn't tell her to do that. She took care of that. And I said, "You know what? That's awesome. That's an example of what faith looks like. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. I have the title deed. I have the assurance. I have the knowing that I know on the inside of me. So I'm just going to get ready for it. Get ready for the spouse." I told my son, he's believing for a wife, a good wife, a godly wife. Not that he's desperate. He's not desperate. He's not desperate at all. He wants what God has for him. So you know what he does? I'm going to embarrass you. He saves a seat for his wife because someday she's coming. And she's going to need a place to sit. So in faith, he saves a seat for his wife. We have a faithful woman in the Mayville church whose husband didn't know the Lord, whose husband didn't come with her. And so you know what she did? She started saving a seat. She sat where he wanted, that she thought he would want to sit. And then she started saving a seat for him. And you know what? He comes there to every service. He comes in faith. She stepped out in faith. You know, and it's as simple as that. You're believing for a spouse? Get ready. Get yourself in order. Start living like you have someone else living with you. Yeah. Start living like you have someone else to take care of and not just you. Start living like that. Start living like you're sowing for a family, not a single person. Start living like that. That's faith. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Was not Abraham, verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed that God was who he said he was, that God is, and God rewarded him. Amen? And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Faith without action, faith without works is dead. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If we are not speaking and acting in line with faith, we are not in faith. If we are not speaking and acting in cahoots with God, or speaking and acting in cahoots with the devil, and we're going to have what the devil has to offer, which is to steal, to kill, and to destroy us. But if we're speaking and we're acting in line with God by faith, we're going to have what he promised, which is life and life more abundantly. We walk in his faith, according to his word, according to his character. We got to know that we know that we know who God is. Amen.